Let's take a closer look at the situation and the road ahead. Jane Holton is chairman of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations and a former secretary of the Federal Health Department. She joined me earlier. Jane Holton, is it really possible to know how prevalent COVID-19 is in the community at the moment if we're still investigating cases and that number of cases continues to rise?
No, I think sadly the answer to the question is no. We're not completely sure how many cases there are in the community at the moment. That's why, of course, the measures that have been taken by Victoria are in place, and I know that's really tough for people. But if we're going to limit spread when we don't know where it is, these kind of measures are necessary.
The cross-border issue, particularly between New South Wales and Victoria, that's obviously the focus at the moment. What are the chances of people who are infected with the virus already being in New South Wales undetected?
Well, we know that there have been people across the border carrying the infection. So we've now seen a number of cases in the ACT clearly and directly connected to Melbourne. And we've seen some cases in the south coast town of Merimbula. So we know people have gone on holidays. And if you've been in Melbourne recently and you feel unwell, you need to think about being tested.
And how precarious is the situation in New South Wales now, in your view?
Well, I think New South Wales is, like all the rest of us, waking up to a day where we're all uncertain, and we know what to do when we're uncertain, but this is a testing time, I think, for everybody, and that's not just our friends, our colleagues in Victoria.
We've heard about the border closure, of course. Do authorities in New South Wales need to be doing more at the moment?
Well, I think the authorities in Victoria are doing what they need to do, but the authorities in New South Wales in particular have done a really good job to date of contact tracing, etc. So everyone needs to double down on what they've been doing. But can I just be really clear? It's not just for us to expect the authorities to do these things. It's actually for all of us, every individual in the community, to do the things we all know we need to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Amongst all of this, there are obviously some important public health messages to remember here. What do people need to know at the moment? And do you think that that message is being communicated clearly?
Well, I'm quite worried, if I'm going to be honest. I've been out and about in Sydney and in other places, and I have to say, I haven't seen a lot of social distancing going on. And I understand that people are a bit sick of it, but this is a marathon. It's not a sprint, because these sorts of events can, and as we now know, have happened. So we need to remember all those things about distancing, hygiene, the coughing, sneezing into your elbow, and if you are even slightly unwell, go and get tested. And then don't go to work after you've been tested. Stay home, wait for that result.
I'm hesitant to be alarmist about this as always. It's never helpful. But with those concerns you've just expressed about social distancing, is there a risk that this outbreak could be worse than we think?
Well, of course, there's always a risk, and that's why people have taken very significant steps over the last couple of days, and that's something that I fully support. Yes, that risk is there, and I think that's the thing everyone needs to understand. This isn't something theoretical. It's not something that's just happening south of the border if you're living in New South Wales. It's happening potentially in the person you pass in the supermarket. It could be somebody who you've had a cup of coffee with who also has someone in their household who's just been to Melbourne. So this is real. We can manage it. We have the way of, we know it works, but we all have to be part of that solution.
This Jetstar flight from Melbourne, can I just ask you about that briefly? We're hearing, it was reported today, that two passengers on the flight were allowed to disembark in Sydney without being screened for COVID-19, and they're still refusing to be swabbed for the virus. Is there enough regulatory teeth around this, so to speak, where people can be forced to be tested? What's the situation around that?
Look, the legislation is in place to enable people to take public health measures that they deem necessary. These are obviously the competent authorities. And yes, there are a number of things that can be required of people, including being tested, including actually being, as we know, quarantined. So the legislation is there. I mean, I think authorities are loath to be too heavy-handed unless it's really necessary. But what I'd say to you and to anybody who is reticent to be tested, do the right thing. Please be tested. Give everyone, including your family members, your elderly relatives, people you know who've had cancer and immune compromised, give them the confidence that you're not bringing the virus into an environment that they may be exposed in.
Yeah, and keeping in mind that the testing regime, when we look at tracing, is there a tipping point here where the number goes up to such an extent that it'll become almost impossible to examine every case?
And that is a real issue because, of course, with one or two cases, we can deploy a large number of people to find out who you might have seen, where you've been, to actually trace all those people down. As those numbers go up, obviously that number of people need to be traced goes up exponentially, and it does become very difficult. So that's one of the reasons why sometimes, and regrettably, we have to take these measures to make sure that people cannot, if they have the virus, spread it, because they are largely confined. And I know it's tough on people, I really do, and I particularly feel for people in small business. But when those numbers really get to that level, you really have to make sure that you manage the virus while you go looking for it.
You're a former secretary of the Federal Health Department. Can I ask, what are the challenges involved when it comes to striking that balance between making decisions about curbing the spread of a disease whilst also remembering that any decision could dramatically affect people's livelihoods? What's going through the heads of our leaders at the moment, so to speak?
Yes, and this is, of course, the really difficult thing. And I think what I'd say to everyone in the community, please be patient, please be kind, because nobody has been through this before. The last time it happened, there was a closure on the border between New South Wales and Victoria, was during Spanish flu. So there's no one alive today who's had to make these decisions before. And you're right, there is a balance here between public health needs and the need to make sure that we don't kill our economy and leave people with no income. It's a very real balance. But at the moment, what we need to do is make sure that we get this disease under control. And of course, that's what we've been doing, and that's what's been happening very successfully. But what we need to do is keep the disease at a manageable level to be able to do exactly as you just said, contact trace effectively and efficiently, and keep everyone else both safe and able to go about the new normal, not how it was before, not going back to exactly the way we did everything, and we want to go back there, I know that, but basically the new normal, slightly distanced, proper hygiene and proper thought and care for everybody in our community.
Jane Holton there, the chairman of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations and a former secretary of the Federal Health Department.